whatever happened to Edward Sharpe?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know? Him and the Magnetic Zeros.
And the Magnetic Zeros just gone off the face of the earth. Yep. Will, it's good to have you back, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to the Friday Night Gamecast. Everybody, what is up? How are you doing? We're doing a quick little episode today. We are doing an FNGC react. We are reacting to the PlayStation Showcase for 2023. This is going to be outside our mainline episodes. Mm-hmm. The season two has not started yet. Don't worry. It's incoming. It's incoming. We got a bunch of really cool stuff locked in and ready for you all. But we are making this content for our dear patrons initially, for the content that you have so what's the word?
Graciously
blessed us with, you know, the ability for us to make this content. So thank you so much for all of our patrons. A quick special shout out to everyone who supported us. Lady Blake, Plox, Amon, Y.A. Pierberg, Hopple, Dave Jackson from Tales from the Backlog, The Intergalactic Pinecone, Brianna from No Limits, a PlayStation podcast, Chris Ware, 1H1D, Eric Guest from The Unlockables, and Rick Firestone from Pixel Project
Listen
Radio.
Listen to all those beautiful people out there.
All of those amazing people. I mean, we've grown. It's slow. It's steady. And they're all our good friends. That's but like. We love them for that.
Exactly.
So we're so grateful for everyone. But for now, let's go ahead and get into the main show. And that's going to be, and we're talking today, an FNGC react to the PlayStation Showcase of 2023.
Yep.
All right. Now, Will, what I would like to do for this episode is start us off with an overview. We're just going to jump right on in there. Well, let's not take any time because, you know, time is at a premium and we got things to do today. So I'd like to just go back and forth with you and talk about some of our favorite games that we saw at the showcase in no specific order. Whatever you want to jump with, whatever your heart is telling you, let's jump into that and let's start it off. Okay. So I'll let you go first.
All right, so Ghost Runner 2 looks really cool. I played a little bit of the first one. I didn't finish it yet, but it is one of those neat games where you kind of hop in. Every enemy dies in one hit. You also die in one hit. So high risk, high reward. It really rewards you for being inventive and being smart and being tactical. So hopefully Ghost Runner 2 gives me more of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know as much about Ghost Runner. I follow Andy Cortez. He's somebody that works with Kind of Funny, and he's a huge first person, you know, player. He's very much, you know, that go-to Twitch streamer for FPS games. And he spoke very highly of it in terms of the speed and the scalability and, you know, the traversal of Ghost Runner. Yep. So that'd be pretty cool. I'll tell you right now, Helldivers, we said this while we were sitting there. It looked like the character designs were an ODST Spartan helmet ripoff, yeah. Or no, ODST like Marine helmet ripoff, exactly. For like the actual armor that those characters are wearing. But it looks pretty cool for asymmetrical. It might not be asymmetric, but just a four player co-op game.
Just four person, right? Yeah, co-op-y, you know, third person shooter. It just looks like Earth Defense Force with a little bit more budget.
Yeah. So I wrote down in my notes that it was produced by Aerodivers. I'm not familiar with them.
Me neither.
This sounds like it could be yet another third person game. But yeah, so that's something that caught my eye. But you turned your nose up at it.
It'll be a fun co-op experience for somebody who is not me. Okay. Shout out to Shady. I'm sure you'll be playing it.
I'm sure he will.
Phantom Blade Zero, just going to kind of hop into one of the big boys. So Phantom Blade Zero looks very, very beautiful. You can tell this is one of those games that is one Sony first party, but they're kind of pushing more of that power of the PS5.
Yeah.
I think it's only going to get better looking as they kind of improve on it. But all in all, it looks very playable. It looks very fun. It gives me Soulsborne-y vibes. So hopefully it's more action than Soulsborne.
Yeah.
But ultimately, them kind of diving into the Chinese fighting and the action. Well, it feels very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So hopefully
incredibly.
That kind of continues that. That looks really cool.
Yeah, I have never seen a character that you can manipulate move the way that they move, exactly like your favorite kung fu films, yep. Like Crouching Tiger. It seems like a whole ton of fun, and I could see myself playing it. It also gave me a lot of Wulong Fallen Dynasty vibes,
for sure.
Probably a little bit more polished.
Yeah,
than Wulong, potentially.
So. The only issue I have with it is you're playing it, or rather looking at it, and I'm like, the palette's super gray. It gives me heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, Xbox 360 just came out. Make everything dark brown. So hopefully there's a little bit more color that pops in. It doesn't have to look as colorful as Ghost of Tsushima, but I would like them to have more color other than the blood of your enemies that you're spilling on the ground.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The red and the yellows. That's all that we really saw there. For me, I will say that this is something that I have to guard myself from nowadays whenever we get into these sad indie games, but something that they showed and I... physically started tearing up watching was Neva, N-E-V-A.
Neva.
I just wrote down Sad Game is Sad.
Yes.
But it looks really beautiful. The art design is very popping. This is the same people who did it. I believe this is the same studio who did Gree.
Yeah.
And so it looks like this, you know, it's the intro was just this video of this like darkness overwhelming this woman and her two animal companions. And one was like this antlered like wolf, and she has a little cub that like hugs her at the end of it because the mom wolf got chewed up. And
whoa, spoiler. Yeah, yeah,
spoilers for the trailers, I guess. whoa, I got it. He's on me already, folks. He's on me already. We're back. So that looks like a good game that I can devastate my soul with eventually.
Yep, that was me saying I'm never buying this game for my mental health. So yes, that's my
name. What kind of name is that though?
So my next one's gonna be Sword of the Sea. Just because it's giving you this Journey vibes. It's from the team that did Journey. So I'm very much looking forward to just kind of exploring. And once again, not as emotionally devastating as Neva or like Gree was.
Yeah.
But definitely something to where you're kind of pulling emotions from the exploration, from the world itself. And hopefully they have, like with their previous games, just some nice ties as far as their actual exploration. From what I'm remembering, there was like some of that sand surfing. So it looks like you're going to be, you know, having some fun just kind of maneuvering around the worlds that they make, which is generally what that team does.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for Sword of the Sea.
Yeah, that looks like a really good one. You know, we're going to talk about this one later. That's on my list. But of course, I mean, we're going to jump into the big one. The reveal that everybody has been waiting for, especially our two very good friends, Kelvin and Rob from the Game Duo podcast, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater.
Yep.
What do you think about this Delta shenanigans?
It's cool. It looks good. So yeah. It's very easy nowadays to do a remake or do a remaster and then just be like, cool, give us money. Obviously, in my opinion, Capcom is the ones that are doing it the most right.
You know,
you're seeing all of these remakes done by Capcom. They're coming up from the ground up in the RE engine, and they're making sure that not only is the gameplay different enough to justify it being a full-on remake, but they're changing around the AI, they're changing around, you know, some of the weapons and things. So hopefully this Metal Gear Solid Delta continues. People were saying online, you know, Delta was chosen because it signifies, you know, change and et cetera, et cetera. So the overall idea is that it's not going to be just a shot-for-shot remaster or shot-for-shot remake of Snake Eater, but it is going to kind of give you some more of its own vibes, hopefully. I know it's been kind of like up and down, but I want it to really go the way that the Final Fantasy VII remake did, where it's beautiful and it's gorgeous, but it is kind of twisting off into its own tail, especially if the overall idea that they may go about is that because Metal Gear Solid 3 is the first game chronologically, this is going to restart the Metal Gear Solid franchise as far as remakes.
Right.
But then you're going to go chronologically from here, so...
It goes into one
solid one and then two and then four, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm excited about. If they do continue down that train, again, I don't have any faith in Konami not doing like Metal Gear Solid 3 and then just taking the profits from that because the franchise is so pachinko avid machines. and then they're just going to reinvest it into pachinko. I could like easily see that being a reality,
but
hopefully, I mean, you see they're investing in Silent Hill as well. So hopefully whoever is in charge of, you know, that executive team over there is pushing them back into the video game space where they're like, yeah, let's like actually utilize this IP that we still own and gainfully do that. I'm excited. For all of the Metal Gear fans out there, you tried to tell me to play the remasters that they're putting on it.
You're gonna. I have them downloaded, so you're gonna play at
you
least
have
a
them
little
downloaded.
Bit. I got 3 and 2 downloaded. I downloaded them years ago. So they're on my Xbox. So you're gonna come over one afternoon, one weekend. We're gonna get some beers, and then you're gonna play a little bit of 2 and 3.
Okay.
You're gonna get mad immediately because the controls are old, and then we can say at least you tried it.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. So my next one, since you had a big heavy hitter, I gotta pull out one of my heavy hitters. I want to make sure that, you know, we're kind of going blow for blow with these. So the Pirates of the Caribbean, that game looks incredible.
The Cat Quest mobile game. Is that what you're talking about?
It looks crazy.
See, this man, he has a kid. He has a sweet little beautiful baby, and then he starts playing mobile games.
Look, there's
next thing
wrong.
I know, he's gonna re-download Marvel Strike Force.
Stop! Don't wish that evil, evil on me. Look, that Caribbean game is so cute.
It did look,
and the little kitty looks so cute.
It did look cute.
Like, I'm excited. I'm gonna pick it up. I'm gonna check it out. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's third party. So like most of the stuff at the showcase. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be on Xbox. If it's on Game Pass, that's an easy day one play. And if it's not, then I'll wait for a little Sally sale and then I'll pick it up because honestly, it looks incredibly cute. Like a great weekend play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited.
So I don't know if you kick this over to me just so I could follow up with you and then like jump in there really quick. But, you know, I guess I'm going to have to do it. Alan Wake 2 is coming out. We got a date, 10/17/23. I think this was the date reveal for this game. I'm not sure if we had that like locked in previously. No, it could have been.
We didn't have it in previously.
Yeah, we knew that it was going to be fall and we knew it was going to be this year. Mm-hmm. But I am incredibly... October is going to be a bonkers time in our lives because we're going to have Alan Wake 2. And then, of course... You know, you can follow up after this, but Assassin's Creed Mirage is coming out.
Yep.
And then, of course, we're going to have Starfield in that same time frame. I think Starfield is in September, not October.
I think it's September.
But still, it's going to be like the game that we're all going to be playing for the rest of this year.
Starfield?
Most like, I mean, if they do correct, if they actually do it right and it's not a flop, hopefully. But yeah. So Alan Wake 2 is really interesting. I don't remember enough about what they showed there, although I do remember that you play as this new female protagonist, it looks like, and it seems to me like they're going to be doing a thing where you're bouncing in between either playing as Alan in first person or your main playable character is the detective as she's unraveling the mystery as to like what the hell is going on with Alan or like where he is. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to say it again when this game comes out, if Jesse Faden doesn't make an appearance, I'm rioting, William.
Okay.
But I'm really excited for it nonetheless.
Yep. It's going to be a blast, so I'm excited. Love me some Alan Wake. Alan Wake 2 is going to be probably my most look forward to game at the back half of the year, other than another one that we're going to get to a little bit later in this list. But moving on to more exciting games as well. You mentioned Mirage, so I will just kind of glance over that. Just to be like, it looks Assassin's Creed. It looks awesome. It looks like the kind of return to form. So I am ready to get hurt again when it comes to that series.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting about Mirage is, I had mentioned this when we saw the reveal earlier, is that I'm really curious as to like what they're doing with the timeline, if they're treating Mirage as like a soft reboot or if this is going to be just what the continuity is going forward. That's kind of the low-key decent thing about Assassin's Creed is that their lore is so abstract and you really have to try hard to understand it after the whole thing that happened to Desmond Miles. Mm-hmm. So everything that happened after, it's like you're a Templar, you're an assassin, who fucking knows in real life, but then you're going back and this game looks like what they wanted Assassin's Creed 1 to look like when it came out on the 360 for the first time a long time ago.
For sure.
So I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, the trailer definitely gave me Assassin's Creed 1 vibe, so hopefully that continues. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Moving on from there, I think that we had a couple of like really interesting other games that were released in there. Obviously, they did some more stuff. We had announcements for Street Fighter VI. I believe we already had a date for that as well. So they just kind of like showed it because I think that, you know, Capcom and Sony, they're kind of go hand in hand, even though Capcom is still multi-platform a lot of the times and they're still releasing stuff on Xbox. So we got that there. A couple of things that I want to shout out. I'm not gonna steal your thunder here. So I'm gonna go instead with I'm hoping I'm remembering this right. That Tower of Fantasy kind of looked really cool, and this was one where it just looked like a very, very anime, like a hyper anime game. Like you sat there, and the words that came into your mouth, you were like, "Wow, this is aggressively anime." Mm-hmm. But it looks like an open world venture. It looks like they're stealing notes from Genshin, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a microtransaction hell the way Genshin and Honkai Railstar currently exists. I could be wrong about that. Sure. I could be very wrong about that, but it looks like the perfect anime video game. Mm-hmm. And if they really nailed it, this could be a cool one.
Yeah.
So my eyes are open for that one.
Yeah. But I say my first one, I thought you were talking about anime games. I thought you were going to bring up that Granblue Fantasy game that they popped up to.
That looks cool.
Pretty similar.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But another good one here. So you were talking about Sin and Thunder. I'm assuming you were talking about another one of my favorite twos that are popping up, Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, man. Yes, sir. Tell me about it. Tell me about what you like to see there.
Seeing the gameplay is so fantastic. So, Dragon's Dogma is one of my favorite games of the 360 era. So, the fact that I had to wait this long, but I finally got a sequel, I'm incredibly excited for. Just the idea of crawling on the back of a Cyclops and slicing its eyes up with a rogue, calling down thousands of meteors as a sorcerer or a wizard, depending on kind of what you class into.
Sure.
I don't know, it's going to be a blast. And then hopefully they continue some of the good stuff with the big two-hand swords. I know they're not going to have, or at least they probably won't have the Guts armor that they had.
Oh,
like the first game had like a couple of berserk.
They could do it as DLC, get people to pay for it.
Maybe.
Honor the author who passed away.
Exactly. So hopefully that'd be cool if they could do it. I know they had it in the original game, but when they had the Dark, like the Dark Arisen, I think that was the kind of like expansion game called, they had to drop it because of the like the rights for it. You know, they couldn't continue the rights. So it'd be nice if they have a nod, maybe like a big gut sword or something. But regardless, looking forward to the game. It's going to be fantastic no matter what. It's going to be a top five game whenever it comes out, hopefully next year. Hopefully I don't have to wait too long for it.
Yeah, absolutely. After Dragon's Dogma 2, they kind of gave us a whole slew of PSVR 2 bullshit. Mm. And I apologize to all of my PSVR 2 friends that are out there. I know that Nate really enjoys it. And yeah, a couple of other people who are on the PlayStation side of things have been enjoying the PSVR 2. I saw RE4 and you were like, you got to play it. You got to do it now. And I'm not going to do it. I just won't. I refuse. The only thing left, besides the thing that I think we're both going to kind of go into a little bit more in depth, mm-hmm. which is Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
The only other thing that I think was worthwhile that we saw was Marathon from Bungie. The fact that they're remaking Marathon, I don't have any idea what it was. All I know is that the spanker from Halo, it had writing or text on it, mm-hmm. that was a reference to Marathon in their old game. And so I had heard about like Marathon from other podcasts or other content that I had been listening to previously, but I guess this is just going to be another first person shooter that they're going to do. I imagine that it might be a multiplayer push.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I know the original Marathons were first person shooters, but I don't think they're going to do this in a single player first person. So
yeah,
it's either going to be a multiplayer first person or they may make it third. I'm not 100% sure.
Sure.
But, I mean, the trailer intrigued me. Looks nice. The color palette was cool. So we will see how it plays.
It's a different aesthetic, and I'm always down for letting the people at Bungie who, you know, they're built on they just have a catalog of excellence right now. And so, I mean, Destiny 2, you either love it or you hate it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not in it anymore. But I did love a lot of the time that I did spend in Destiny while I was still in it. So there's that. But yeah, anything else from you besides Spider-Man 2 that's on this list?
See, aside from that, I mean, it's not something necessarily that I was excited for, but I guess it's something that I need to see more of, because the fact that they came to their own first party showcase and gave us that little baby trailer for Concord, I'm like, come on.
It's literally just key art, a splash of key art.
Yeah, I'm like, you got to drop
something. A name reveal. Like,
you
got to
give me something.
Yeah, you got to give me something more than that. Give me an idea. Give me a voice actor. If you have a good voice actor, something.
Somebody to introduce it. Even like bring out, you know, the developer and have them kind of wax poetic about the game. What am I going to do?
We've been working so hard on this, you know, whatever the normal corporate speech that
you're going to be doing XYZ. I'm like, give me something. But yeah, that was very disappointing. So it's not necessarily looking forward to, but it's more of like, hey, you got to show us something. Like, you know, I feel like, is that me? Where you're poking Sony with a stick, you're like, come on, do something. this was your chance to do something.
And that was Firewalk Studios, which is one of their first party studios. So of course they're going to get flack. They're going to get critiqued for the fact that they didn't come out strong with a lot of first party stuff.
So we'll see. Hopefully if they're smart by the end of the year, we'll see some kind of a trailer for this game.
Yeah.
Because if that's the most we hear about it until next year, it's going to be nasty. It's gross.
Oh yeah, it's gonna not be any good, especially for the PlayStation fans who are kind of dying for new IP and new content.
I bought my PS5 and what do I have to show for it? It's like Returnal, Ratchet and Clank, and that's it.
You're talking about exclusives?
Yeah, like the PS5 only exclusives.
Demon's Souls.
Yeah, Demon's
but
Souls.
If you're new, you're not a Soulsborne player, mm-hmm. that's not gonna be for you.
Exactly.
I think Miles Morales, was that not a PS5 exclusive?
I think it was, but it was also like it's a great game. I'm not gonna sit here and talk crap about it, but it was like a half a game.
It's a Lost Legacy game.
It's Lost Legacy, which is another fantastic thing, but you know, it's a shorter form. Like, I want, give me something big, give me something
give me
buff.
The open world, exactly. He says, the man who does not want to play open worlds.
And yet I continue
the conundrum of being a gamer.
But speaking of Miles, we're gonna get into that Spider-Man.
Let's get into Spider-Man. Let's jump into it while we're here already. Now, straight off the top though, I want to ask you, did you think this was Spider-Man when the trailer started?
I mean, not initially. I figured Spider-Man was going to be shown when they said last game. It was like, okay, cool, Spider-Man time. And then they open up in the jungle and you're just like, what's happening here? What is this?
You told me that you didn't think Spider-Man was going to show up at this showcase.
Well, I didn't think initially, no, because I'm like, they would have given us a little bit of something.
They gave Final Fantasy 16 its own showcase. Why didn't Spider-Man get its own?
Yeah, they gave Final Fantasy its own showcase, and then you get more Final Fantasy during this showcase, and like, what's happening? What's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, then they, you know, put you in the jungle. They give you ugly modern Kraven, and everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. This is gross. And then the,
you thought
the
it was ugly?
Man, that first guy that showed up,
the
tribal head tattoo, and I was like, it looks like someone's trying to do a modern Kraven.
Yeah, it looked like he was straight out of Ark, like the Vin Diesel game.
It was
so
really bad.
It was interesting.
And
so
then the real homie shows up, the real man with the big fur and everything. Yeah,
with all the stuff. He was really cool. As soon as I saw him, my mind went on a weird roller coaster where I was like, oh, are they making a Kraven the Hunter game? And I was like, that would be sick. But then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's Marvel. This is Spider-Man.
Yep.
And then we saw the reveal of the boy, Peter, busting out with the symbiote thing.
It's awesome.
You told me that you thought it was a little bit weird in terms of the way the placement, how he just kind of showed up in the symbiote suit.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, because of how they showed it in this showcase, it was just, hey, we're going to take a mission and you're going to play through the full-on mission, which is what they kind of did for the 2018 reveal. So I don't know why I was thinking
that's true, they did do that.
I was kind of thinking, I was like, oh, we're going to get a trailer so it can kind of be like maybe cutscenes interspersed with gameplay, and then you're going to maybe see Pete going to touch the parasite, the alien, the symbiote, and then it would kind of grab onto him, and it gives you either A, that you don't see him change and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to get symbiote Spider-Man in the next game, is going to be great. Or it kind of shows him from there, and then it shows the differences between earlier in the trailer, Pete doing stuff, and then later in the trailer, when he has the symbiote on, doing stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I was thinking of. It was kind of weird that they kind of hopped in, he popped out of the basement and then immediately start beating up on guys. But I'm not complaining though. He was putting in work on people.
I love how they're leaning all in on Pete's personality being messed with the aggression. I love that they aren't shying away from that, and it's not just it's not the Venom movies version of Peter Parker, him in the symbiote suit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not a Tom Hardy rendition of it being kind of haha, goofy. No, the symbiote is a scary fucking thing. Sure. Venom is not something that you want to be playing with. Maybe it's a little bit goofy, but in the ultimate run of all of the Marvel comics that I've read, he was a very big problem that Peter Parker had to deal with and almost got killed multiple times. So I think it's fitting that, that they have that in place there, and that's the way he is. And it also makes sense that you're probably going to be playing most of the game as Peter Parker in the symbiote suit, because it would be weird to de-level him as Spider-Man and then you go over and you're playing as Miles, who has the Venom abilities and all these other, things that you got to play as. So they have to level out both of those characters so you don't feel less powerful as one or the other.
Well, yeah, and that's why it just makes sense to have Pete, have the symbiote powers. He's going to have his differences, and then Miles is going to have his differences. I think they're going to be more balanced towards 50-50. I don't see any reason why they'd necessarily have him play mostly Pete, unless they're going to do something where, you kind of pass on the mantle to Miles for part three or something. But
right.
But yeah, it's going to be good. I did like during the trailer when it kind of showed them switching back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool that even maybe intermission, you're going to be able to jump back. I wonder if during open world, you'll be able to do it at will, or if it's kind of be, you finish a mission as Miles, you do whatever you want as Miles, and then eventually you switch back to Pete, and then you can go back as Pete. Kind of like what they did with Ragnarok with your side character, where you can't switch them at will, but during certain parts of the story, it'll switch it for you. And then, at that point, you can go do side missions with, at this point, it's not really spoilers, because that game's been out for a couple months, Atreus, and then you can go do side missions with the other character, if during that time in the story you go back and do those side missions. So I'm wondering how they'll kind of balance that, or how they'll guide it. Maybe they'll even make it kind of like how later on in 2018, you could choose between, or could you? I don't even think you could choose night or day in 2018 after you beat the game. I'm trying to remember.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't recall if they had that. So hopefully they do something like that, where maybe after the game is done, or at certain points, you can kind of choose who you want to swing around as, and then maybe even choose the time of day, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I imagine that it's going to be very much because of the way that Insomniac has done different things. I imagine that you're going to have to navigate as Miles or Peter to some location. Mm-hmm. You walk in a building, you walk out as the other character, or just like walk into a ring and then like switch it out, and then you move moving around that way. So that'll be interesting. That'll be good. Any final thoughts on Spider-Man?
No, I'm excited. I like 2018. I'm sure I'm going to like this one.
Do you think it'll be, do you think it has the potential to be more of a game of the year than Zelda?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Zelda is a lock for this year.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that because I've been playing my ass off.
I was about to say, Zelda I haven't even played it, and I'm just like, I don't see anything that has, you know, this is very much the kind of chokehold that Elden Ring had last year when everyone's just talking about it 24/7. People that don't play video games talk about Zelda. You see on your Twitter, your social media, whatever, people sharing these giant contraptions that they're making. So
the mechs, have you seen them? Yeah, all of the mechs that they're making right now, it's absolutely absurd.
It's crazy
what they're getting into. Now that we've covered all of the games that we thought were the most hype, the best things to come out of the showcase, I'd like to cover some of the games that we thought was a miss or a flop. Were there any ones that really stood out to you?
The first flop is definitely going to be Helldivers 2.
Damn.
No, I'm joking.
Damn, he's going hard on this game.
No. But definitely, as far as things that were kind of misses, I was not a huge fan of Foam Stars, how it looks. I've seen some people online try to like kind of defend it. But ultimately, it just looks like a Square Enix version of Splatoon. So
yeah,
it's not giving me anything that shows, oh man, this is so different, it's cool because it does XYZ. This is effectively when Battle Royale went crazy and every other game was a Battle Royale game, and you know, the cream floated to the top, i.e. Fortnite. We'll see if Square Enix can outdo Nintendo, but I don't see Foam Stars having a long shelf life.
Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, and I think that it is a little bit of a cash grab. I'm not really sure what the thought process was when they were leaning into it, but nevertheless, we got what we got. Mm-hmm. Plucky Squire was here. We had already seen Plucky Squire before. I'm not hating on the game, but I'm just hating on the fact that Sony decided to like put this same game and then treat it like it was an announcement at this showcase after they were, Jim Ryan got on the camera, was being all says, these are the best games that you're going to be able to play on your PlayStation 5.
Plucky Squire.
And then Plucky Squire is like, okay, yeah, I'm sure that's really utilizing the full power of the SSD and all of the bullshit that they talk about. You know, there's some stuff on here. Like the first, like the beginning was pretty solid. Some stuff that I have question marks around definitely was going to be like the Talos Principle 2. Again, not hating on it. I'm just not sure what that is. Haven Studios had a thing, the very first thing we saw, which was Fair Games. Mm-hmm. And that's Haven. And Haven is first party. But I still have no idea what that was. I can't even remember. And I didn't go back to look at it.
It's a thieving. It's like a 3-on-3.
Oh, yeah. Because we thought it was Payback, game. Right?
Yeah.
We thought it looks like Payback at the very beginning.
And then they show it all. I'm like, oh, this looks like Hood, Outlaws, and Legends. And that game lasted 15 minutes.
So okay.
We will see. We'll see how it turns out. I'm not ready to shoot it down yet. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
But it's also a complete CGI trailer. So we'll see how it actually plays and what it really looks like.
Yeah. I'm kind of going to go in here on the PSVR 2. Mm-hmm. I thought every single game that they showed for it that wasn't RE4 VR, which is in development and they openly admitted it was in dev still, didn't look great. This Arizona Sunshine 2, not good at all. This Crossfire Sierra Squad, what's going on? Why are they doing this? What? Are you an Arizona Sunshine fan?
Arizona Sunshine 2 looked cool.
Did it look cool?
Yeah, it was just a little goofy zombie game. I mean, the first Arizona Sunshine was one of the only games I've seen on the PlayStation kind of store where I was like, oh, that looks neat. I'm not going to go buy a VR headset for it, but it looks cool.
Oh, this is the zombie game.
Yeah, it's like the little zombie funny game. The guy was talking about Fred. It'll be perfectly fine. Most of the things, unfortunately, on the VR side that they showed are just like, oh, this is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Beat Saber
is a cool game. Thank God we can play Beat Saber again, William. We've been dying to do that.
I'm like, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you don't need to put that in your showcase.
Yeah,
I'm like, neat. If you're playing Beat Saber, exciting. If you're not playing Beat Saber, I don't think Queen is going to pull you into it. Shout out to Queen. I love Queen.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like, oh man, they dropped a Queen pack. Time to go buy Beat Saber in a $500 headset. It's not going to happen.
You're not going to sell PSVR 2 that way. No.
So ultimately, like you mentioned, a lot of the stuff from the VR side, I think, is a miss for most gamers. But if you already have one, I think this is cool for you. You're having more things come to it. If you don't have one, I saw nothing that's going to make you want to buy one. Unless your name is Shady and you're going to get it for RE4. That's the only reason.
Did you talk to him? Do you think he's going to get it?
He said he's going to get it.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he's actually going to, but he said he's going to.
Well, that'll be good. Shout out to everybody who enjoys their PlayStation VR. I want to play Ragnarok. Maybe if I can go up there and hang out with those trolls, you know, I can put on Nasty Nate's sweaty VR headset and play a little Ragnarok way. Yeah. So we covered everything there. We covered all of the games that we thought stood out to us, or some of the ones that we thought maybe weren't as great. I now want to talk about stuff that we didn't see there, because I think that's what's almost more telling about what is going on with PlayStation Studios is, you know, what they don't tell you, right? Everything that they do, okay, you can critique, you can go in on that as much as you want, but if they're not actually going to bring it out, what does that mean for this, you know, as Tim Geddes like to call the second phase of the PlayStation 5? Mm-hmm. We didn't see the PlayStation 5 Pro. What did you think about that? Do you think that was a good move?
Okay. I don't need any half step consoles this gen. No.
Okay, so you think they should skip it altogether?
I would like to just, if you're going to do
they're making it though. Yeah. It's in development.
But I would just like to see a PS6 if you're going to do anything like this. I don't need a PS5 Pro. I can understand doing a PS5 Mini because she large. So if you can shrink down the console size and make it the same power, then sure, whatever. I'm not going to tell Sony how to make money or not how to make money. But I'm like, I'd much rather you just see them put money into the games, into the developers, and et cetera, et cetera. We got to the point where PS5s were flying off the shelf. So it's not like they're, oh man, we got to do a new push to sell more product. You know, we're just now seeing PS5s kind of actually in stores and stick around for a little bit. People are still buying them up.
Yeah.
You barely have enough games to justify having a PS5 because of the PS5 only. I love it because you can load up things faster. But if somebody's like, I got this PS5 to play this PS5 game, you have five of them to choose from.
It's true. And I will say, when it comes to quality of life, Xbox kind of is knocking it out of the park in terms of giving players the option to do what they want. The flexibility is something, as like a modern gamer, has become so much more of an important option for me. And that's something that they kind of are leaning into now with Project Q, which I think was an absolute flop.
Yeah, it was not.
They're literally making their version of the Backbone, which is something that I have and that I use with my cell phone, but they're making it on a, it looks, it doesn't, I don't even think it's an OLED. It looks like an LCD, an 8-inch LCD, basically they put a DualSense controller in and they chopped it in half. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the handles like a Joy-Con. Yeah. So you have your own little, and they're probably going to sell it for $500, which you love to see.
That'd be so sad.
Can you imagine? Yeah. It might not be that much, if I'm being completely real with our audience. It might not be that much, but again, I just think that Project Q is like, I mean, it's a good idea. They need to be going that direction, but they also need to kind of be leaning in and like understanding where players are. I think it's just, it's a matter of them kind of balancing act. I don't want them to do what Xbox is doing, because clearly what Xbox is doing right now might not be working the best for them organizationally wise. But I don't know. Would you say that you want them to push in that, continue down that direction of cloud gaming or the Play Anywhere? Do you want a Play Anywhere version of PlayStation?
Well, not for me, just because the whole point for me playing PlayStation is to play it at home on my TV. And if I want to play something else, I have my phone. You know, you have the ability for the Switch. I was like, people staying in their lanes can be good just to make sure that you have the ability to focus on what you're really, really good at. I know why they want to spread out, because you have the opportunity to make money in other places. But if you're going to kind of, you know, like half-ass it, for the lack of a better term, maybe stick to what you got going on. I mean, we saw how many times the PSP failed until they eventually just stopped making them. So I don't know if having like a handheld for your phone is going to be the best step in that direction, but we'll see. Somebody's got to eventually get cloud gaming to work, so why not Sony? Why not try it out?
Yeah, why not Sony? Some other stuff that didn't happen at this showcase, we didn't see a lot of first-party studios, including something that a lot of people who were speculating wanted to see. There was no promise that they were going to be there, but it just made sense for them to be there, and that was Naughty Dog, who did not show up with anything.
Wah, wah.
They didn't show up with, apparently, from what I remember, they're working on a new IP. Mm-hmm. They may or may not be working on an Uncharted. I'm not really sure if they blatantly came out and said they weren't ever working on an Uncharted again, or if that there's something in development. I feel like I'm either not remembering or just misremembering what the communication was earlier on that. But we do know, and we did get revealed that the Last of Us multiplayer game, which is the succession to the Last of Us Factions, is coming out. Factions 2, for all intents and purposes, whatever code name that they're using internally. Reports came out from Naughty Dog directly that basically apologizing to the Sony fans, saying, hey, we're sorry we weren't at the showcase. We realized that our presence was, you know, the lack of our presence was noticed. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we decided that based on the state of the game that we wanted to push back any announcement or showing of it. And then Jason Schreier came out with an article kind of piggybacking off the top of that, discussing that Sony had layoffs and they performed layoffs throughout their company, and there was an entire section of division of the team who was allocated to work on the Last of Us Faction project that got let go. So what does that mean to you? What do you think is happening here? Are we going to see this, are we going to see Last of Us Factions this year? Is it vaporware? Is it coming out at all? What do you think?
We're definitely not going to see it this year.
Okay.
But I don't know. Because I don't remember saying as far as the layoffs. I know they said that they dropped that team down, probably to spend other resources to work on whatever.
Oh, you think they might have moved around people instead of letting people go?
That's what it sounded like it was, at least to me when I was reading it. I was like, oh, they're downsizing that team so that they can take that chunk of people that they moved into whatever single player game they're working on.
And I skimmed the article. Yeah. I skimmed the article. So I was I jumped to conclusions. You know what I mean?
But just making sure that, you know, but that group that's working on Factions 2 is definitely downsized, which is something where it's like, okay, if this game isn't out yet, either they're almost done with it so they can kind of finish up with the skeleton crew, or like you were saying, you know, they're kind of quietly getting to the point where they may get rid of it. Hopefully they don't. Last of Us 2 came out in 2020. It's been 3 years. You know, obviously they've been working on Factions 2 before Last of Us 2 came out. So
yeah,
it's what, potentially 5 years, maybe even going on 6 years of work that they've been working on for this thing. So the fact that we haven't seen anything past, you know, the leaks that happened years ago, at this point years, it's crazy saying that, but there were leaks that happened, and then them having that one, you know, piece of concept art that they've been showing around that's like, hey, we're still working on it. Seeing nothing, hearing nothing is a little disconcerting, but we'll
see it eventually.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see it eventually. I mean, they certainly have enough money to, you know, reallocate, and I imagine it, conceptually, this is a product that is wanted. I mean, they're really trying to double down. PlayStation is trying to monopolize or really engage and leverage all of the interest that has been recently poured into The Last of Us from the HBO show. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a really big miss for them if they were to just let go of that project completely, because I mean, you're going to get younger kids in there. You're going to get older folks who love the HBO show on board for something like that. Mm-hmm. They might not have the greatest time playing a multiplayer as their first Last of Us experience, but the hope is that there's enough refinement in there that everybody can get something out of it.
Yeah. You don't want them to put out something half-baked, but I'd be hard-pressed to find it half-baked after this many years of them working on it. So we'll see how it turns out. Hopefully it comes out and it's in some kind of decent shape so that you know, Sony can get a nice little W there. Last of Us can continue on, and then I can get my part 3 starring Abby Anderson. That's all you want.
Neil, you heard it here first.
Make it work.
Neil, get it together.
Make it work.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up here. Just a couple of quick things that I'd like to kind of touch on as a quick overview. The first party studios that we did not see there was a lot that we didn't see there. So obviously we already mentioned Guerrilla is not going to be there because Guerrilla just came out with Burning Shores. Mm-hmm. And they're still kind of doing their post cleanup, or they're figuring out organizationally what they're doing for whatever is going to be Horizon 3. I'm sure. Obviously we got the notice from Firewalk Studios of Concord. So they're working on Concord. They're coming out with that. But other than that, there was we didn't find Blue Point, and I've been so curious and fascinated as to what Blue Point is working on. We know they are working on something because they teased it to us last year at the Game Awards, and we didn't see them there either. Ben Studio wasn't there. I don't know what they are trying to do, since Days Gone is kind of defunct.
Single player,
and you told me that they're not doing a Days Gone 2.
They're not doing Days Gone 2.
Team Asobi, I loved the game that they included with the PS5 for Astrobot's Playroom.
Yep.
I would love for them to make a dedicated Astrobot game, a quick 15-20 hour game.
It would be nice.
That would be amazing if they did that. We didn't hear from Sony Santa Monica. Corey Barlog is working on some kind of special sci-fi project based on some of the stuff that he has on his Twitter. We didn't see them, and we didn't see Sucker Punch either, which made me very sad.
No Ghost 2. Yeah, sad.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you here?
No, that's really everything. I really would have liked to see something from Sucker Punch, another game that came out in 2020, and I think we're due for some news on the new Ghost, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see it. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap it up here, William. Out of everything that we've said, for our final thoughts for this episode, I'd like to hear what you think this means for this next phase of Sony. Like, where do you think this is pushing them strategically in the industry, and what do you think that's going to mean for gamers in 2023 and beyond?
Well, as far as what's pushing them, I mean, we saw with Project Q and their push towards PSVR 2 that they're kind of spreading themselves out. They're not just making themselves
the PS5 company.
Yeah, they're not the company for just, hey, we're just AAA games on your console at home. You know, we can do this, we can do that. We'll see if that, I mean, for the lack of a better term, gamble, just because
it is a gamble.
Yeah, VR is not proven. And, you know, the Backbone just came out recently. People have been using items like that, but I wouldn't necessarily know how much money is in that sector. So we'll see if the investment in the queue is worth it. But that's effectively what they're doing. They're giving you a couple of high profile games, but aside from Spider-Man, you're not getting a large view on all of them. What, you got Final Fantasy 16, which is exclusive for right now. I don't know if it's supposed to be, I don't think it's supposed to be entirely exclusive.
It might be a timed exclusive.
Yeah, but we'll see. They were saying that about 7 too, and still not
we
on
haven't
Xbox.
Seen 7 yet. still not on the Xbox. Got skipped again.
I mean, you know, they have Final Fantasy, they got a couple exclusives there, but the big thing is I'm still looking for that number one reason to point to and be like, yo, this is why you got to have that PS5. You know, Ragnarok is a great game. You know, Miles is a great game. But if I'm trying to convince my friend to get one or get this, or you need to have it for this, really what I'm saying is, do you want your room to keep sounding like a jet engine with a PS4, or do you want to get a PS5? That's like the big thing, the load times and the noise.
Yeah.
So hopefully they just kind of pull together more things. 2023 is a great year for gaming right now. They got a lot of good stuff coming out on all consoles, on all sides of the spectrums. But 2024, 2025, 2026, as we push into these next 3 years and these consoles get to the point where they're, you know, going on 5 years, 6 years, and you're kind of looking to the next generation, since most of them kind of last 7 years in general.
I think these consoles will last a lot longer. You don't think so?
Probably, I'm sure they'll push 7 like they normally do.
Yeah.
Just because, too, like you already see the stuff with the PC, you know, they got 4090s, and then people are already looking to be like, all right, we got some good stuff coming out. I'm like, what do you mean coming out? I can't even buy these 4090s right now. What's going on? So, yeah, by the time we get 3 years out, there's going to be better chips, better processing, and then people are going to be looking to get that kind of biggest console, that newer console. So I can see 7, 8, gone are the days of consoles lasting 10 to 11 years by themselves. You know, there'll be overlap. People can still play PS4s right now, perfectly fine. But yeah, these consoles are going to kind of be old gen by the time we hit like 2028.
That's true.
2026, something like that.
Absolutely. I can't help but agree wholeheartedly with you on all fronts. I think that their push towards Project Q, it makes sense for cloud gaming. We didn't hear anything about any updates for Project Spartacus, aka the new, you know, PlayStation Plus tiers, whether that be Plus Extra or the Plus Ultimate, whatever the highest tier is. So it doesn't seem like they're kind of doing anything else with that. I imagine that that's going to stay in its track for the duration of this console generation, which it is what it is. And I hope that they start having a little bit more of a focus on PS Plus and the games that they bring to PS Plus to allow folks more of an opportunity to jump in there. Because like you said before, that seems like a really good thing, that if you know that you're not playing any other games right now, or you're not interested in other games, and then you see, oh, PS Plus brought, I don't know, like one of their first party titles to the thing, that like they brought Horizon Forbidden West to that platform, then you could be like, let me pay for this of a month, and that will be the August game, that will be the September game, because I'm not playing Starfield in this reality, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly.
Whatever the case may be, not everybody can play everything A lot of people don't have Xbox.
Yeah, if you just have a PlayStation, then that PS Plus is a good resource for you, especially if you're somebody that doesn't play a whole lot of games, because then you're going to have that full library to work with.
And it's got a lot of good third-party stuff on there. Agreed. Ubisoft usually has a couple of their Far Cry and Assassin's Creed games there, so there's always going to be a little something for everyone with that console. But yeah, that is going to do it. For this episode, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for time. But for our audience, we want to get some feedback from you guys. What did you think about our FNGC React episode? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Do you want to change anything about what we talked about? And we also want to hear what you thought about PlayStation. Where do you think they're going for 2023-24? And what do you want to see from them coming out when they have another announcement or maybe something on later this year, whether that be Summer Games Fest or at the Game Awards? If you want to find us, go ahead and reach out to us on Twitter. We are at FNGCpod, a new little handle, very easy to say on a podcast now. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're listening to this on our main feed, please consider supporting us over on Patreon. We are just at patreon.com/FridayNightGamecast, where for just $1 and above, you can go ahead and get access to early episodes and then topical voting. So with that, William, are you ready for season 2?
Yes, sir.
Let's get into it. That's wonderful. Everybody, please be safe, take it easy, and we will see you next Friday night.
Whoop, whoop.